All right. Here we are. Let's do this again for what number is this for us?
130.
130?
I think.
That's not bad.
Yeah. 130 uninterrupted weeks.
Oh, dang, I didn't have the volume up.
That wasn't the right one.
Oh, got a lot going on. Here's the thing that I want to talk about most. I rewatched the last part of the Matrix trilogy last night.
Nice. You prepping?
I'm getting ready because of the new trailer. I wanted to be like, what happened to everybody? Like, I forgot, like, what happened to Trinity? And I was like, oh, yeah.
The hottest lady in that whole thing, in my opinion.
She's up there. I like those black ladies, though, too.
Fun.
Very nice.
I like some Jada Pinkett.
I like that Zion just turns into like a big orgy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On multiple occasions. That's what it's like.
Yeah, but it's like a hyper-religious orgy. The best guy. The best guy.
If you have to choose.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Those are the kinds. Those are
guilt-free,
the real.
Guilt-free. Guilt-free.
Those are the real nice experiences for human beings. First of all, holds up. It was great to watch. I don't know that I really understand it still. Like what it was in. I mean, I still just enjoy watching it.
It's a Jesus parable.
Is it?
Dude, yeah, totally. It totally is. Think
so
about
it. So Neo sacrifices himself
for the good of all.
For the good of Zion.
Yeah, and he even goes out in the Jesus Christ pose on the way out.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, big old JC, like, nod.
And then Agent Smith is the devil and his legions, right?
I wouldn't say that Agent Smith is the devil, because he's not really the devil. Who's the devil in that? He's definitely, you know, I would say that the guy that ran everything,
the white guy with the beard, the Colonel Sanders looking dude.
The opposite of the Oracle. Because the Oracle's a machine too. So
she's a program.
Yeah, she's a program.
Which was created by the dude who, the Colonel Sanders looking guy.
Yeah.
With the old timey hat.
The old timey hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget the name of that hat.
It's been a while since I watched it, but it's pretty much, you know, kind of that Messiah.
Anyway, I'm getting ready for Matrix Resurrection.
As am I.
And so I just wanted to like refamiliarize myself. But I think it doesn't come out for a while, right?
No, it's a good long while. What I'm prepping for is the new Dexter series that's coming out.
When does that come out?
Very soon. I don't remember a date, but I watched the trailer for it.
I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Witcher season 2.
Witcher, yeah. Witcher,
I like the Witcher.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Henry Cavill. I'm into him.
Tour de Force. My favorite movie is that Mission Impossible movie he did where he had the mustache and he fights Tom Cruise and some dudes in the bathroom.
Yes.
And he's just brutal.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
I remember that.
It's just, that mustache looked
good,
too.
You know, the rumor on Henry Cavill Jr., or Henry Cavill, not Henry Cavill Jr., I don't know what I'm talking about. The rumor mill says that he almost missed his audition for Superman because he was raiding on World of Warcraft.
Yeah, he's a big video game nerd.
Huge nerd.
Yes, that's fun.
This is a victory for nerds everywhere. He's Superman. He's like this beefcake and action scenes, and he's the Witcher. It's like nerd glory, right?
Yeah, I watched a movie, a Nicolas Cage movie. There's plenty of those, right? It's a new one.
Not nearly enough.
Called Pig.
A new Nick Cage movie?
Called Pig, and it takes place in Portland.
What?
Yeah. You should check it out. It's pretty.
Lowell, write that down. write that down and then give it to me later.
Okay.
Pig, huh? Is it on a streaming service that I can easily...
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's basically a truffle farmer. Somebody comes and takes his pig. It's like John Wick, if John Wick had a pig.
Oh, right on. Oh, I like the idea of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Also, speaking of John Wick, I just feel like Keanu Reeves just gets better with time. He just, like, as time has gone on, and I've been enjoying Keanu Reeves movies ever since there were Keanu Reeves movies.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a movie with him that I wasn't, like, didn't think he was good in.
Oh, Bad News Bears.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad.
I would reconsider.
It was like the money ball of baseball movies.
It's the line, it's one of my favorite lines, where he's outside, I think there's a bar fight, and he says, "Nobody kicks my own ass better than me." And then he like, I don't know if he slams his head into a car window or his hand into a car window. Anyway, he proceeds to like knock himself out. And it's just like, it's just a weird.
Does he like scream and point his gun in the sky and start firing off rounds?
No.
He should. He should do that in every movie.
He should do that in every movie.
His Point Break was amazing.
Anyways. Yeah. He just gets better with time, like a fine wine. He's a.
Yeah, didn't they do like the immortal? There was all those immortal, like Keanu Reeves memes.
Yeah, he's been memorialized. Oh, is that a word? Can I key that? Can
memorialized?
I memorialized.
You can. Yeah, we should.
I coined that. Yeah,
trademark that.
Trademark. Write that down.
Yes, I guess I'm the court stenographer now.
Yeah.
There was something I saw on Facebook that caught my attention too. I believe the rapper's name is Society. Had
nice.
It's spelled crazily.
Not spelled normal. No. I can tell you that. They
He's a 23-year-old Ragerton rapper and producer, brags about being the first person to have gold chains as hair after having them surgically implanted in his scalp.
Okay. My wife just showed me that yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy.
She's like, have you heard of this rapper who has like gold chains dangling from his skull? They've got to be, what he's done, I'm assuming, is that he's attached little metal studs, like just under the surface. Like people have been doing that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then to that, you are attaching like dangly diamond chains.
Yeah, they're probably like little.
I don't think he sleeps like that.
Maybe it would be pretty baller if he did.
It would be pretty painful.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He would be like the ultimate baller.
I have a soft pillow. Must be having one of those My Pillow things.
I got like a square pillow. Those are neat.
I don't know what that even means.
It's square instead of like pillow shaped. Sometimes I like to sleep on my side.
Right, pillows are like rectangles, are they not?
Yeah, sort of.
Are we living on two different planets?
We are.
I say pillows are rectangles.
Fair. That's fair. These ones are square. I just got one in the mail today, so I'm going to enjoy it.
Okay. Well, report on that next week.
I will.
I'd appreciate that. Okay. I'm excited about Dexter. I'm excited about The Witcher. I'm excited about... I still haven't seen Shang-Chi.
Me neither.
I need to see that. I was going to, but I got a little under the weather.
Yeah, we were going to, and you got a little under the weather.
Yeah. I got sick for like... Like 2 days, 2.5 days.
I had a migraine that day anyway, so...
Luckily, I was off work, so...
I probably wouldn't have been that much fun.
This is about me, Lowell.
Fine.
It's not about you.
We know.
It's got to be about me. I'm excited about that. Most excited for the Spider-Man. The new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's going to be very interesting. I think they're going to be introducing the Sinister Six. Anyways, okay, but that's not why people came here today. People came here to learn. People came here to the Dribble with Dr. Brady podcast to wax philosophical, to understand and unlock the meanings and definitions of life and what it means to live. Right, Lowell?
Yes. Affirmative.
That's right. We have been talking, we've been taking a little bit of time on the podcast to wax philosophical and learn, and actually, like, I'm actually not joking, guys. We're going to learn a little bit about life today, and the things we learn as dentists. Now, no list of life lessons would be complete from a dentist if we didn't talk about lying. Lying, something that we all do from time to time. There are good reasons to lie. I think there's bad reasons to lie. Mostly bad reasons to lie. A lot of different reasons for lying. But in my profession, do you think anyone gets lied to more than a dentist?
Doctor.
Ooh, maybe that's up there. I think people are maybe a little more afraid.
Medical professionals. Let's just say medical professionals probably get lied to a lot.
Do you think people are more afraid to lie to a doctor because the consequences can be more dire?
Well, if they were being real, I think that the consequences could be pretty dire if they lie to their dentist, too.
I don't think people think that, though.
I think that.
If I don't tell my dentist, if I lie to him and say I floss and I don't really floss.
He can tell.
I mean, most of them I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you got like a water pick. I don't know. I keep telling me to get a water pick.
You don't. You should get a water pick.
Are they good?
I think they're good. I think they're all right. Yeah. I've never used one, actually.
It's like the tactile feedback of flossing.
I feel a little hypocritical because I don't use one. But I floss pretty regularly. And I brush. whatever.
I try to do it. I do it pretty much every night. Sometimes I try to do it midday, but I just don't always get around to it.
Well,
confessions.
Here's what happens. Someone moseys into my dental office, and they, you know, let's say they have cavities, right? Now, if you have cavities, you probably, a lot of people want to know why they have cavities. Why do I have all the, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? Like, that would be the most logical thing that someone would want to know is like, okay, how do I prevent this? How do I treat this, first of all, then how do I prevent it from happening? Is that possible? And the truth is, the more information that a dentist has, the more we can help you figure out, like, what are you doing? Like, if I ask you, what do you eat? How often do you brush? Do your mom and dad have problems with their teeth? Is there a genetic factor? Do you have any medical issues I should know about? Are you taking any medications that I should know about? There's a lot of questions that if you don't answer that correctly, like, for example, let's say that I'm noticing a lot of erosion on someone's teeth. I'm like, hey, I'm noticing a lot of erosion on your teeth. That's usually indicative of some kind of acid situation. I'd like to help you avoid that because it's damaging your teeth. Let's talk a little bit about, these are actual real conversations that I would have with patients. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on there. And then they proceed to lie to me, right? Like, nope, I brush, I eat normal stuff. But in reality, maybe they suck on lemons, something like that. I don't know. But you see, as an observer, that we're not going to make progress here, right? You're lying to someone who's trying to care for you and preventing them from caring for you. So we're stuck with this, well, things are going to continue or get worse. And that's the actual real life consequence of lying to your dentist. And I don't know if people, do you think it's just out of like mostly out of like embarrassment? Like I know I should be doing X, Y, or Z and I'm not, so I'm going to lie about it because I don't want to deal with the shame of like judgment. Is that what you think? Where do you think, like what, like, because it just seems more like self-preserving to tell the truth, but people don't.
Oh man, I would still equate it to like getting bad news at the dentist. I would say is very similar to getting bad news at the doctor. While it might not be as life-threatening, I think it's in the same ballpark.
It's expensive.
Yeah, but it's
inconvenient.
But it's just that sense of impending doom, you know, that dread and doom that comes along with that. Yeah, I'm sure there's some shame. There's a factor, a monicum of shame in there. And, you know, but man, I can tell you when I go get my teeth cleaned and they're just like, yeah, you're good to go, man. That's a great feeling, you know. But one of these days, I'm sure, you know, I'm going to get told something. And I know that sinking feeling is just going to happen again. I'm just not afraid of it because, you know, I can get it taken care of. I'm in the position to get it taken care of relatively easily. But it's,
yeah,
but that's a unique position. So
imagine if I as the dentist lied to you as the patient, right? Either way, you get disastrous results, right? What if I lie to you and tell you you don't have cavities and you do?
Which I'm sure happens from time to time.
Depends on what time of the day you're coming to see me. If I said at the end of the day, maybe you don't have cavities.
Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Neither am I.
You know, maybe.
That is.
Just making up dental rhetorical procedures, you know, I'm sure that happens, you know.
And then you have aggressive, where you're making up things that aren't there and doing dentistry on teeth that don't need it. Either way, you know, honesty is kind of pretty much essential. So I would argue that, you know, the consequences can be kind of just as dire, just as severe. Maybe it's a better word.
Maybe it's a shame of life choices. Maybe they don't want to be made to be, maybe they already feel ashamed of those life choices and they don't want to expose themselves further by telling somebody.
Yeah. It's always interesting to me when we do things that are illogical, right? Like the idea of going to see the dentist is to help you with your teeth, to help you, not to help me. It's to help you, right? So you're going, and this kind of goes a little bit back to last week's life lesson about, was it last week's or the week before we talked about the authoritative?
The week before.
Yeah, being able to submit to an authoritative expert, right? Yeah,
and what was the big point there too was trust.
Trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's got to be a little bit of trust there. And the idea is you got to give me all the give me all the pertinent data about you, your life, your body, your habits, your diet, and let me process that as the expert to convey some kind of plan that helps you with your life, right? So if you're lying to me, it just bothers. So it's just this illogical, like, you're not helping yourself. You're lying to me, but you suffer. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, oh gosh, it's like something my dad used to say to me. It's not super applicable, but it kind of makes sense to me. Is like, discipline and logic have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
So, I mean, you could equate that to being, you know, if you're not disciplined in your life with your diet and, you know, maybe you're a little bit kind of loosey-goosey and do a bunch of stuff you're not supposed to do, takes a toll on your teeth, you might be, you know, ashamed of that. And then by telling you, it actually makes that shame a reality because you're actually even just showing up. You know, it's kind of like that body, you know, have you ever had been wounded and looked at your wound and been like really, you know, terror mortal, like that existential kind of mortal terror kind of starts, like, to set in.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's a small version of that.
Maybe so.
Because it's like there's damage done. Maybe you didn't fully realize the extent of the damage, and then you go to a dentist and they tell you that, oh man, this is just a train wreck in here. It makes you feel bad about yourself.
It does.
I'm sure there's a ton of factors for this. But yeah, but bottom line is if you're taking the trouble to go see the dentist, you shouldn't lie to them. You're just wasting your money.
Listen, you got to hit the rock bottom to start climbing up. That's what you got to do sometimes. You got to be like, you got to accept. There's some level of acceptance that needs to happen for you to say, I'm just going to be honest and, you know, I'm going to take my beating.
Think of it like this way. Think of your dentist or like, say, like a doctor. You know, like a medical doctor. Think about this. Think about him like a mechanic for your car. Your body's the car.
Right.
Would you lie to your mechanic about something? Because if you do and he doesn't fix the job right, you still got to pay him.
Right.
You know, that's how I would think about it.
Right, and it's your, and you still have to drive that stupid car.
Yeah, it's a, think of him like a mechanic, because essentially they are.
Yeah.
Just like a biomechanic.
That's exactly right. I love the mechanic analogies. I think they're very apt to what we do as dentists, and as like technicians of the body, of any part of the body. It's all a one big machine that works a certain way and supposed to work a certain way. But, you know, I've heard people like, you know, definitely, you know, the advice out there is definitely don't lie to your doctors. Don't ever lie to your doctors. Like, it's too, because the consequences are too severe, right? You can't. And so, but it comes down to like, when someone's taking care of you, you should not expect things to get better for you if you lie to them. And that's the life lesson where you take that home and you're like, who are the people that care about you? And you start seeing, oh, that's kind of works the same way like everywhere, man.
This is
kind of like a universal truth, right?
Yeah, this is when I went home, when I went back to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends eventually found out what I did, because I didn't go around wearing it on my coat sleeve. You know what I mean? Like, they'd ask me, what are you up to these days?
And I'd be like, it's not on your Grindr profile.
Grindr? Yuck. Yuck City. That's not my jam. But, like, they find out, of course, that they would tell me stories and launch into these diatribes.
Oh, dental
about
stories.
Teeth. Yeah, about their teeth.
Yes.
You know, I basically just opened them up. Like, yeah, I'm sure you get this a lot when people ask, like, what do you do? I'm a dentist. Boom. They just, it's like an open door.
Just start showing me their molars.
Yeah. And then they would ask me questions, and I'm like, listen, not a dentist. Dance around with a lot of dentists, but I am not the one you should be seeking advice from. I can point you in the right direction, but you got to go get this from a medical professional, because that I am not. Or they would make up things about their teeth or stories that I knew for a fact were false.
Oh, yeah, dude.
They were just too outlandish to be
real. Go on, man. Go on. Now you're preaching to the choir, dude.
Yeah, and like, it's like, I had one friend tell me that, oh, he never got his adult teeth. And I'm like, then you had some awfully big baby teeth, buddy, because his teeth were falling out. You know why?
A human adult man said this to you?
Yes, because he drinks like a case of Mountain Dew a day. That's going to do it, dude. And he doesn't brush his teeth very good. You know,
okay, so let's talk about, this is interesting. So why is he lying? Does he know he's lying? Or, like, Does he say this, and he said it so much that he believes it? That's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I can't remember what they call that.
Because it must have started out as a lie, or he was just grossly misinformed and bought it. Like, the idea that you don't have adult teeth is like, I mean, that is stupid. That's really bad.
Yeah. It's just bizarre. And I get these bizarre stories, and one dude, like, told me some outlandish tale that I barely tuned into. But I could tell that, you know, he definitely had, like, the meth mouth going on.
Mm, okay.
Of course, he was kind of high when he was talking to me. So, you know, like, it was kind of like, if it squawks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
We're adding two and two. Got it.
You know, but definitely one thing that this surprised me is how little people actually know about how, like, the chemistry in your mouth works.
Right.
Like, how little people actually know about the details of how things work.
Right.
You know, it just baffled me.
We should get an eye doctor on here and ask them, like, I like the idea of, like, here's structures that you can see that you use all the time that you kind of don't know. Like, how many people know how eyes work? I don't really know how my eyes work. So, but with the lie of, like, I don't have adult teeth, I find people a lot of time will come up with lies or share things that are obviously false in a dental setting that justifies a fear or a mistrust. Like, I can mistrust dentists because last time I got my tooth pulled, they put their knee on my chest and yanked on it. That's the biggest one out there. Like, apparently there's dentists all over the place putting their knees on people's chests. I don't know any of them. I've never met a single one of them. I don't know any dentist that's put their knee on someone's chest. But I know personally hundreds of patients that have shared this story or something similar with me.
I had a tooth pulled once where he put his hand in my mouth and I got, like, a good grip. But that was...
Oh, I'll grab the jaw.
That's, like, what he did. He, like, kind of grabbed it, like, right here on the side.
Forcep in my right hand. I'll cradle their head, like...
Yeah, that's exactly what he did.
I'll cradle their head to my bosom.
Yeah, he totally grabbed my head and, like, grabbed my jaw and, like, just to get the leverage.
I have a soft bosom, so it's nice.
He wasn't, like, horrible, you know, to me, but he just, obviously, he had, like, just had to get a grip, mm-hmm. get an angle.
Like, if I was a woman, my male patients would be very, very happy with the position that I had them in. And as a man, they might still be happy. I don't know. I shouldn't presume to know anything. But...
it's just a nice treat.
It's just one of those things in life that you just smile.
You just enjoy.
You just enjoy and smile and just say a little thankful prayer.
I had a hairdresser once was kind of busty and when I was young.
That sounds nice for you.
Yeah, and they just kind of brush up against me every once in a while.
Oh, that's delightful.
I was like 13.
That's delightful. Oh, 13, that's life-changing.
Yeah, it was life-changing.
That's life-changing. That's like, why is Lowell getting haircuts every 3 days? I don't know.
No, it's...
Lowell is spending his entire allowance on haircuts.
It's a small town, man. It makes sense. You got to get it where you can.
It makes sense. What am I getting at?
Don't lie to your... dentist, it doesn't you no yeah, good. Does you yeah. absolutely no good.
Anyways, people make up these stories, and I think to some extent people start believing them. So
it's
I don't
false memory syndrome.
Yeah,
or something like that.
I think it's like that. I think I've had that before. In fact, I know I have. Short little tangent story here. I don't know if I've told this before. For my 40th birthday, I went to Moab, Utah, mm-hmm. with two friends of mine.
You can check that episode out. Brady's what's that? Lordy, Lordy, Brady's turning 40-40 episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. So I went to Moab to pal around with a few buddies of mine, a couple dentists and their wives, and we had a great time. Moab, Utah is amazing, by the way. Everyone should go to Moab, Utah. We do dirt bikes and...
all the good stuff.
You know, little razors and run around all the places. And these guys and I go back where we were dental school buddies. And after dental school, every year we went to Moab, just the dudes. Okay, it was like 9-10 of us that would go to Moab. And, you know, every now and then, we did it like 5 years in a row, 4 or 5 years in a row. There was one trip where I swear I got talked into riding a dirt bike, a two-wheel dirt bike. Okay, I don't know how to ride a dirt bike. I had never ridden a dirt bike. But we were renting vehicles, and I was going to rent a little UTV, a little Razor, which has four wheels. It's like a very high-powered go-kart, basically, if you don't know, has a roll cage, right? So I was going to drive that around. I feel a lot more comfortable on four wheels than two. But these guys are very comfortable with dirt bikes. They've been riding them all their lives. They're very, I mean, they scare me sometimes. These guys with families that are taking risks that they shouldn't take. But I remember, and I had this conversation with him on my 40th birthday party back in April. So I was recalling back years, and I said, that trip, I went out and I broke my wrist. I fractured my wrist from a fall on the dirt bike. And I was doing really, really good. We did this trail called Fins and Things, which if you've been through Moab, it's a popular trail. And it's a little advanced for even an advanced dirt bike rider.
For somebody that's never ridden a dirt bike.
And I have never ridden a dirt bike before. But I was like, but in my head, I look at that experience and I think to myself, those guys talked me into it. That's my excuse. Is those guys talked me into it.
Those guys talked me into it.
I was like, in my head, and I still remember it this way, even though they contest what actually went down. I believe that I was sitting there and they said, hey, we don't have any more razors left. All we have are dirt bikes. And I was like, oh, I don't think I should rent a dirt bike. And they were like, dude, you should totally rent a dirt bike. It would be fine. You'll be fine on a dirt bike. And I was like, I don't think I should rent a dirt bike. And they're like, dude, you'll be fine. And I was like, okay, I'll rent a dirt bike. That's how I remember it. That's completely false, according to them. I don't know, because I have this memory of like, that's what happened. And then they say, they both were like, and I cornered them, because I was talking about this on the way there, driving to Moab from the airport, from the Salt Lake City airport, with my wife. And she was like, you should ask them individually. And I was like, fine. So I talked to them on the phone. I said, hey, when we get there, I'm going to ask you how this went down. I want you to be able to tell me without being influenced by
the other
guy, right? And
the stories are probably identical.
They were really, really close because one guy, they were both like, no. We both told you that we didn't think you should ride a dirt bike, that we thought that was a mistake. And you were the one who was like, I got this.
And that sounds more correct to me.
And we were
like, that sounds way more correct to me.
And we were like, I don't know, man. And I was like, dude, I got this, man. This isn't a problem. And then I broke my wrist. And I just remember blaming them. Now, after they told me that, I was like, we need to call in a few more witnesses that were there. Because there was a few more that got, now, and that got me really curious. Because I was like, but here's the thing. Okay, back to the point. Getting back to the story here. Getting back to the point of this whole thing. Let's assume that I'm wrong. Let's assume that I am believing a fabrication. I invented that fabrication to justify doing something absolutely stupid, right? I shouldn't have rented a dirt bike. And if I did, I definitely shouldn't have gone on this trail with a bunch of advanced riders on an advanced trail in the middle of Moab, Utah. Definitely shouldn't have done that. But I justified it as being coerced. I was influenced by people that I trusted, right? But dude, I don't think I was. The evidence, the data is that's coming to the surface is that I am wrong. I fabricated that.
I think that's human nature, though, to paint yourself in your memory in a more positive light. So for you, you wrecked the dirt bike. There was bad consequences to that decision, so your memory kind of formulated to where it wasn't your fault.
Yeah. I didn't ask myself to protect my own ego, but I did.
Yeah, but I don't think you did. I think your brain did that for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think people always tend to paint themselves in a more positive light. Think about like a shit-talking encounter. Somebody fires something at you, and your response is not great. But on the hallway walk back out there, you think of something great to say.
That's what I, yeah,
you know,
I do that
and maybe,
all the time.
You know, your brain might, you know, eventually turn that memory into like you said what you thought of in the hallway. Again, you know, and you wouldn't even realize it.
And I would tell other people, when he said this to me, I was like, boom. And you're like, no, you didn't say that. You thought about that 10 minutes later. And it would have been funny if you did. And then you're like, if you say to yourself enough times, it would have been funny if I did. It would have been funny if I did. Then it's like, I did that. That's a better story.
I don't think that it's like, I'm sure some people, like, you know, I know plenty of these dudes, these chest puffing kind of guys that'll tell these wild tales. I'm pretty reserved with my wild tales because I just think people are going to walk around. I tell them something that I've done. I just think they're going to think, you know, I'm just full of it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm pretty reserved about personal details because I just, people are going to think I'm full of it. Yeah, I've had a very adventurous life. I've got the scars to show for it too, but it's just like. Dang.
I'm thinking about a topic for next week's episode, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell, deep dive. Deep dive on Lowell.
I've been an adventurous life. And it's just, you know, I always think that people are just going to think I'm full of it. So I don't talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Like when I talk to musicians and they always have to like jump in. And like one thing I've noticed is musicians especially always got to throw out like how long they've been playing. Like it's some kind of red badge of courage that makes them right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you can't tell me what about this because I've been playing for 30 years. Well, you've been playing for 30 years and you still suck. So you might want to do something different.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, just like you should listen to me. I've been very,
I know you're talking about me right now.
No, totally not talking about you.
It's fine. I do suck. I should be better.
This is not a good look for you, Brady.
I should be better than what I am.
Dude, you're fine. Did you nail that Sweet Child of Mine solo?
Say that one more time.
You nailed that Sweet Child of Mine solo.
Boom.
Even my bass player, Ross, who's the snobbiest of snobs, like totally was like, dude, he nailed that solo.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only been playing that solo for like 6 years. So
hey, dude, you've been doing it well.
That's good.
That's what I'm just saying. I think your brain kind of will paint these stories, but I think when you hear these stories too, sometimes if someone tells you a story and they're painted in too positive of light in the story, I think that you start to suspect them the same way.
Yeah.
The suspected that, oh, this is just BS.
Well, because of your exposure to your own flaws, right? Your own propensity to exaggerate or to even fabricate out of whole cloth experiences that didn't happen, right? Or ways that they happened that weren't exactly accurate. You see other people where they could be doing that, right? And you think, this seems a lot like what I know on the inside is false when I say stories like this. So I think you're telling me that I don't think you're being quite honest with me, right? But man, it makes you careful because it's like, dude, like I didn't even know, like I have told that story about the dirt bike so many times. And I've always told it as I was influenced by these two Yahoos. these two, like, you know, evil Knievel daredevil adrenaline junkie friends of mine to drive a dirt bike. And then I'm being told, whoa, that is not at all what happened, dude. You are wrong. So you got to be careful, man. Like, even find yourself doing that. It's really, really easy.
My take on it is I'm sure I've done it. I actually have, you know, kind of caught myself doing it a time or two. But for me, I think my sense of humor kind of keeps my brain from doing that because I believe that flaws are what endear people to other people. Like you love people more for their flaws than you actually do their.
Well, you better because if you're looking for a perfect person.
Exactly. But I find my.
Come to my address at 2112. No.
I find my personal flaws I think they're hilarious. Like with my folly in my life has always been. Yeah, it's total folly. And there's been times I've been too dead and wrong. But it's hilarious. You know what I mean? But I just
right.
like people with some people normal.
Some people are funny when they're wrong.
Yeah.
And they're like, shit.
Yeah. It's just, I think that when people are telling you these things and they're creating these scenarios, the scenarios paint them in a positive light or paint their fear in a positive light. Like, I'm fearful because some guy put a knee on my chest to, like, pull a tooth out.
Right.
You know, maybe they're trying to justify their own fears.
But that's a good story. If it were true.
Oh, that'd be a great story.
That's a great story. That actually gets, you know, that gets people's attention. I think it's why people embellish, right? Like, it's people embellish and exaggerate. Like, how much money do you make? Oh, I make $1 billion a year. And that's like, people are prone to, like, exaggerate that because it's a better story.
I tell people to mind their own business.
That's not a good story. That's a terrible story, Lowell. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. If I have to mind my own business, I want to mind.
I was brought up to believe that that's a rude question.
I'm interested in your beeswax, not my own beeswax.
I just really feel it's a rude question.
What's your beeswax doing? That's what I want to know.
We're working on procreation right now.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Do you want any tips? Is this when we segue into the Mormon sex advice podcast?
Don't. Is the advice.
Oh, man. Guys, if we get enough emails talking about, hey, Dr. Smith, you should start your Mormon sex advice podcast, I am probably not going to do it, but I would think about it.
Dude, it's going to happen eventually. You talk about it.
Eventually. Enough. Eventually. Well, I wish you many attempts. And at least one successful one.
Yeah, my wife listens to this podcast every week too. Love you, baby.
Listen,
it's no secret. We've been.
Do you have names in mind?
Yes.
Tell me them right now.
Well, more girl names than boy names at this point, but Sorsha, or Kaya.
Okay, I have a niece named Kaya.
Oh, Kaya! For we watched Willow.
Listen, you don't have to justify it to me. Sorsha, is that from Willow?
Yeah, it's the evil lady's daughter who flips and...
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to watch Willow.
Oh, dude, it's amazing.
Does that hold up?
Yes.
If I watch it, am I going to be like, oh, crap, why did I like this?
There's three movies I can watch anytime, as many times in a row, when they never get old. Me and my wife have seen Willow a million times. A lot of times when we're watching movies or something, we're just like, occasionally, we just kind of like...
Yeah, looking at your phone at the same time.
Never did it during Willow.
Captivates your attention.
We've seen it 1,000 times, and we just like there.
But are you able to say it's not nostalgia? It's actually good.
It's super good.
Is it appropriate for my kids?
Willow,
PG, right?
Yeah, there is some like battle scenes and stuff where people get stabbed and fight.
I don't care about that. Listen, they got to know this is the world we live in.
No, this is. I would say that it's appropriate for children.
Okay.
It's unlike Labyrinth, where David Bowie's pants are not appropriate for children.
My kids have watched Labyrinth.
Labyrinth is amazing, too.
It's another Labyrinth is fantastic, movies. And it does hold up.
Never-ending Stories is the third one in that trilogy for me of awesome. They just don't do fantasy movies. Sorry to like take away from your point, but they do not do fantasy movies like they used to. Like, they just don't.
Yeah. It always goes into the gory and graphic.
Not the whimsical and like...
Not the whimsical. Exactly, I mean, right.
Like
the wholesome and whimsicalness.
But if you think about the heroes
lost.
In Willow, the hero, who's the main heroes of Willow?
Well, there's Mad Mortigan.
Mad Mortigan and Willow.
And Willow, of course.
And, oh God, what's her name? The witch that's like the marmot, and then she's like a raven.
Oh,
and then she's a goat.
Yes,
as he's trying to like turn her back into Rizel.
Oh, good old Rizel.
I don't know. Boy names are a little bit hard. Solomon was one that came.
Oh,
up.
Oh, I like Solomon.
Yeah, it's my it's Carly's grandfather's name.
Plus, I love that name.
Plus, it's cool. It's just a cool name.
Yeah, that's an old school
Bible name right there.
Solid. Salt of the earth type
Wolf.
Of name.
Wolf was another one.
Listen, you don't have to sell me on that. I'm sold on that already. I have a nephew named Cougar.
That's a really cool name.
And you know, here's the thing. Everyone thought it was stupid at first, but now it's just normal. That's just the way names are.
Yeah. I just don't want to have like, I don't want to saddle a child with a name like mine. My name is weird. No one ever pronounces it right. It's hyphenated. My first name is hyphenated.
It's Lowell George.
Yeah, with a hyphen in between Lowell and George. No one can say Lowell the first time right, most of the time, unless they have a Lowell they already know.
Yeah. It's a little bit like that.
I was on one of our fun dental Facebook groups, and somebody's like...
I know which one.
Yeah, they were talking about names. Like, well, it's... this, but not, no, it's not spelled this way. I can't remember a good example, but I put my, like, it's Lowell, not LOL. And I was like, it was like the best one.
Yeah. 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 I could see that. Well, I hope people have learned not to lie.
Don't lie.
There are good reasons to lie.
Like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and stuff.
Sure. Sure.
But those are just like,
keeping dreams alive for your kiddos.
Innocence protecting lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think those are kind of harmless lies.
I agree that those are harmless lies. What if I tell a patient this isn't going to hurt? I don't feel comfortable doing that.
No, I don't think that would be great. I would tell, you know, I would maybe.
Here's the worst. The worst thing is when I have a child in the chair and the parents in the room too, and they're like, this isn't going to hurt. And I want to be like,
actually,
this is going to hurt a lot.
This is going to tickle a little bit.
So, yeah, I correct them when they do that.
I remember when my dad pulled one of my teeth once, and when I was my baby teeth, when they were falling out. And he just straight home, he's like, this is going to suck. And then, dude.
But yeah, I would rather. You're going to get through it. Listen, I'll give you some honest, like, hey, this is going to suck. But, you know, by tonight, you'll be eating ice cream. You'll feel great.
Yeah, when he was resetting my shoulder once, I dislocated my shoulder when I was a kid. And he's like, same thing. He's like, this is really going to suck. And then he put it back.
Pops it right in place. Yeah. Yeah. So, but the key is, the takeaway from this is not just like, don't lie. It's identify the people who care about you and don't lie to them. Whether it's like caring about you for like, you know, capitalistic gain, I would say like a car mechanic. That's not life or death, but it's like you have a vested interest.
But you should think of your body. I think you should think of your body in the same way. Like
if definitely.
You really take care of a car because it gets you to and fro and you want it to be dependable.
And I would add property, body and property. If someone's like, if someone's coming to me and helping me about my property, also, like my house, I'm going to tell them the truth. Like, here's what, you know.
Exactly.
I cook meth in the basement of my house, and I think you should know that before replacing the carpet.
Would you like some, sir?
Do you entertain interesting trades? That's what I need to know.
I think it's bad. I think, yeah, there's obviously little.
Meth? Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Little white lies and stuff, but, you know, you can tell, you know, maybe to protect somebody from something. But it's a slippery slope, dude. I don't think you should lie really at all. Unless there's
it is a slippery slope.
You know, I would say it's the truth.
Some people get addicted to it, man. They just lie just to lie.
It's bad. Right? It's bad, though.
I'm not saying
I'm perfect, but like sometimes I'll lie when like my wife asks me, like, did you do this? Like, yes.
Yeah.
But that's not good either.
Well, let's do a little secret word. I hope you guys learned a little bit about lying today. And I hope that these little episodes are teaching you things from a different perspective. Maybe a dental perspective has some stuff to offer. I find correlations between my interactions. What people don't understand sometimes about a dentist is like how many human beings we see. We have a lot of face-to-face interaction.
Not to mention like you get to see people with the mask off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just the physical mask, but like that metaphysical mask that everybody kind of tends
to
wear.
In a very vulnerable situation. Yeah. I mean, like hardened country folk crying because of their, dental situation. Yeah. And it's very humbling. But it gives you a lot of like, it's this large kind of swath of the American population where I get rich people and poor people and black people and white people and gay people and straight people. And you have all these types of different people and you get to learn about all of them. You see like, this is like what's...
It's a cross section of America.
Uh-huh. And you see like, well, it seems like no matter who you are, there are some universal truths here. And one of the universal truths is if someone cares about you, you shouldn't lie to them because it hurts you. It's self-preservation, really, right? It's illogical to lie when it comes down to someone who cares about you or is caring or your property, right? Someone who's taking care of you.
I always lie to my wife when she asks me when she calls me and she wakes me up from a nap. I don't know why. It's not even a thought.
You don't want to tell her that you're napping?
She'd be like, "Are you asleep? Did you just wake up?" I'm like, no. I'll be like barely awake, and I'll be like, "No, I'm fine."
But what would she do if she felt? Would she care?
No.
You're like, oh, yeah, I just fell asleep. I had a little nap. Felt great.
I'm like half awake. And like I will just be like, no, I'm not sleeping. And like I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I was totally
taking
a nap.
You probably psychologically see that as weakness. Like I'm not, I ain't no queer. I don't need to take no naps. I don't need to take no naps like some daisy.
I absolutely love naps. It is the glory. If you can like sneak like a 30-minute nap in.
I'm jealous of you. Yeah.
Every once in a while, you just got to like do
point of jealousy for me. Let's move along here. We're hitting 45 minutes. That's about when I need to tap out. By the way, speaking of tap out, I finished Alone. It's great. Season 6.
Nice. I just, the one season I'd never seen was season 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched season 3. It's in Patagonia.
Oh, see, I'd love to go visit Patagonia.
You should, backpedal through the Alone season. Start with one and just kind of work your way
up. That's what I'm going to do. I think one is one Vancouver Island?
Yeah, most of them are Vancouver Island, but this one, that's why I was like just shocked. I'm like, Dude, I watched another good one is the that I told you about was Alone the Beast.
Yeah, okay.
That's another like...
Is that where they have to just last 100 days?
No, the Beast is where... I don't remember how, exactly how long, but they're dropped off in different locations. Like one's a swamp, one's like, you know, like the tundra. Mm-hmm. With a carcass of a dead animal that's been killed that day. They have to process that and then use that to live as long as they can.
Listen, I love it.
But they're not, I don't think they're allowed to bring really anything in those.
I love it, man. I love it. Okay, secret word for reals now.
I got one.
What is it?
It's real easy. It's going to be a short secret phrase from our childhood. It's going to be liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh, that's the whole thing. Oh, because of the lying theme.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Liar, liar, pants
liar,
on fire.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Email that to drilledpodcast@gmail.com and you can win $500 of free dental work. Did you say $500? I did say $500 of free dental work. And that's what we're giving out for anybody.
Wait a second. That's $500?
Lol. It's $500.
Holy cow.
$4.99. Are you out
of
your mind?
Cowabunga, it is.
No. That's the one. That's the one. Okay. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Email that to drilledpodcast@gmail.com, and you can win $500 of free dental work at the Comfort Dental Camus in Camus, Washington. And or you can gift it to someone. If you can't use it yourself, you can gift it to someone who can. Thank you for joining us. Please check out all of our social media for Halo Dental. Halo Dental is the name of our charity, which recruits dentists to do life-changing work for people. You might know someone who needs life-changing work, and you can go to halodentalnetwork.org and nominate them. You could also donate to the cause directly, which we encourage, and that helps out a lot of people. Check us out and follow us on Instagram if you haven't. Leave a review if you have the ability to. And stay tuned with us as we go through more life lessons to come. As time goes by, we'll talk about more life lessons we learned from the dental office. I hope this has been helpful. Thank you for your patronage. Appreciate that. And we'll sign off and see you next week.
Don't lie to your dentist.
That's right. Don't lie to your dentist. Later, guys.